What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide, and we're back in the studio. Who'd have thunk it? Back here in the comfy, cozy confines of New York City, LiveX Studios, Gaff behind the control board. We're coming to you live. Plenty of people already in the chat. It's great to see everybody. Great to see the passion of Packers fans on display, not only in here, but at Nitschke Field, where the Packers just wrapped up the final public practice for training camp. Players going around thanking the fans. Apparently Jair Alexander hyping people up, getting them clapping and shouting. It's all very exciting. And Matt LaFleur, asked about the passion of said fans, gave some platitudes about, you know, how great it is, etc. And then threw in the, we're still going to encourage them to get loud at Lambeau. So it's good the coach isn't going to let that go. I'm excited for that first game in Lambeau Field to see if the crowd brings it. But in the meantime, we've got 17 days until the Packers travel to Chicago to take on the division champion Bears. Needless to say, there's a lot of work to do, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers was back at practice today, so at least the offense was competent. But clearly, they're having everything thrown at them by Mike Pettine and company in practice. They have looked less than stellar offensively. Fits and starts in that first preseason game. Pretty woeful in that second one. We'll see if Rodgers ends up playing at all on Thursday night up there in Canada. Hello to everybody in the live chat here. Lots of people saying hello. Feeling some doubts about LaFleur? No, Brian, it's far too early for that. I mean, I think there are going to be ebbs and flows throughout any tenure, and LaFleur is dealing with everything being thrown at him in his own particular way, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of results he gets from the buttons that he presses. Don't forget, every team, season to season, but definitely from franchise to franchise, becomes a reflection of the head coach. And right now, LaFleur is still very much, pretty much a blank slate. And as he builds his resume, as he builds his program, we'll see what kind of results he ends up getting. I was at the Ravens game. That was a tough one. Your big takeaways from the game. Joseph, it felt like, you're right, it was a tough one because the Packers got pushed around on both sides of the ball, especially up front, especially on the defensive front. It just felt like once it was announced that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play, the air was kind of let out of the balloon, so to speak. And I know that's a very broad statement, but you hated to watch the Baltimore Ravens just absolutely manhandled them up front in the running game, which they most certainly did. Now, the caveat there is obviously they're not playing, they're not game planning, they're not running any run blitzes, they're not actually game planning for whatever the Ravens were going to throw at them on offense. They were very vanilla, and that was very apparent. But ultimately, it is a game that is won in the trenches, and it's disconcerting to see a defensive front that was much ballyhooed coming into the start of training camp get completely dominated up front. That was less than exciting. Can they hire half a dozen rodeo clowns for tackling practice? I don't know, Whiskey 61, but that's an excellent idea. LOL, it's preseason. That's right, and that's what we're talking about. If you would care not to talk about the preseason, I would suggest checking back when it's the regular season. But right now, it's the preseason, and we come here to talk with Packers fans who give a shit. Thanks for stopping by. In your opinion, in terms of success, what's the floor and what's the ceiling for this team? Oof, Timmy. Way, way early yet, as far as the formation of what the 53 ends up looking like and what kinds of hands they've been dealt on both sides of the ball, talent-wise. I will say, I think if they make the playoffs, it's a successful season. And I know a lot of Packers fans don't want to hear that, but to my way of thinking, you go 2 years with missing the postseason. Even if they were to go, say, 9-7, that's a three-game improvement with a rookie head coach. No rookie head coach in the history of the Green Bay Packers, the 100-year history of the Green Bay Packers, has ever made the postseason his first year out of the gate. So, yeah, playoffs is a pretty big milestone. We'd love to see LaFleur do a press conference with Belichick answers and voice. Why? There's already a Bill Belichick. We don't need another one. Are we making too much of the offense looking ugly so far? I don't think so. I think it was to be expected. If you didn't expect it to look ugly, you probably weren't watching Packers Daily in the offseason. And you know, that's pretty much in keeping with the history of a lot of offenses that are being installed by a first-time head coach. You've seen it around the league. I think expectations may have gotten a bit out of whack with Sean McVay coming into L.A. and going from, you know, black and white to color, so to speak. But you have to remember he was following Jeff Fisher. So it's not hard to look like a whiz kid after that. I saw somebody ask about last night's Cheesehead TV Live. If you haven't watched the guys down there in Arizona, I heartily recommend that you do so. Yes, they are affiliated with Cheesehead TV. No, it is not Corey and myself. Jason and Jeremy are two diehard Packers fans located in the Arizona area. They do a live pregame show every week out of a bar down there, and I highly recommend you check them out whenever they're live. No, it's not me. No, it's not Corey. It's a very different kind of perspective, but they're no less diehard than you and I, and they're great at what they do, and we love having them here at Cheesehead TV. Speaking of Corey and I, make sure you mark your calendars for Wednesday at 5 p.m. for the return of Packer Transplants with a very, very special guest. I'll let you sit on that one. Did you hit 10,000 subscribers? We did! Thank you very much, and thanks to everyone who did subscribe. If you haven't done so, I please implore you to do so. But yeah, we hit 10K a couple weeks ago. Gary is potential, not production. Yes, right now. Let's have him take a meaningful snap before we start writing his epitaph, please. Is 2020 the year to look for a QB? There is a few good ones next year. I believe it will be Mike. I said yesterday late in the afternoon on Twitter, Gutekunst drafts a quarterback next year. Book it. That's all I can say. No one strips a ball like Woodson. Oh, Cody, you got that right, man. I missed that tomahawk chop. BJ Raji, special guest? No, sir. What's the scoop with Kaiser? Daniel, the scoop is he's got all the athletic ability in the world, but he just can't seem to put it together on a consistent basis. And most likely, he'll be the backup heading into the season, and the Packers will have to hold their breath and pray that Aaron Rodgers doesn't miss any time. Only good thing in Game 2 was seeing Jamon Moore on the third team. Yeah, Jamon Moore, I mean, thankfully he's all right after the horrific-looking car accident he was in on Friday. He certainly had a less-than-stellar camp, and it's pretty disappointing up to this point. Now, maybe he has an outstanding preseason game, Week 3, has an outstanding stretch of practice leading into Week 4, and he balls out against Kansas City and saves his roster spot. But that's what I think it's going to take for him to make this team. Bob McGinn is the special guest. Can you imagine? That'd be amazing. Oh, my God. If you had to win one game, Kaiser or Boyle? Man. I don't know, man. Give me the bullet. After the drops yesterday, do you think Jamon's days are numbered? Yes, Ryan. That's what I just alluded to. Do we draft a kicker next year? Probably. Just to upset Corey Behnke. Who are the vocal leaders on defense now that Daniels is gone? Well, Jaire Alexander is definitely in the clubhouse there. He gets everybody hype. He's got a special handshake with guys. He's very much the guy rallying the troops, so to speak. Everyone give this team some time. I would agree. Do you think Light will be the third tackle? I do, Michael. And if you would ask me that at the beginning of the preseason / camp, I would have said no. But he has really improved this summer from what I saw last year. He has played both spots, left and right. And while he's not Bakhtiari Bulaga, nobody is, he has played surprisingly well. And it was interesting today in practice, they had Billy Turner kicking out to right tackle, much like we've suspected this summer, and had Elton Jenkins slide in there at right guard. So you have to think they're getting Turner ready for right tackle in case whatever happens with Bulaga seems to happen every year. They can slide him over and then insert Jenkins at guard. And by the way, a word on Elton Jenkins, they have found a player in Elton Jenkins. You know, we all kind of suspected that this kid, according to the tape we saw, you know, in his college production, he could probably be the real deal. I'm here to tell you, after watching him day in and day out for a couple weeks there in Green Bay, that kid can play. And he has played at a pretty high level at all three interior positions, left and right guard and center. Planet VHS Horror with a super chat. Thank you so much. Favorite Packers team highlight tape VHS only? Oof, man. That's a tough question. Back in the day, there was a VHS, Holmgren's Heroes. I think you can find it on YouTube nowadays, but, well, you say VHS only, though. I don't know, VHS only. There's a greatest Packers games collection, and there's an Ice Bowl VHS tape that my parents used to have, but not quite sure of the titles. How do you feel about the increase in playoff teams that the NFLPA is discussing, Sam? That's one of those things where I'm pretty sure that's a trial balloon, kind of set it out there, see how the public reacts to it. Maybe they try to use that in negotiations as far as, you know, the horse trading that goes on when negotiating a CBA. I'd be very surprised if they actually went down that road. But it is one way to talk about growing the revenue pie, so to speak. I hate the idea from a competitive standpoint, but it seems a foregone conclusion at this point that something will happen with the structure of the season. I don't know what that will end up being, 17 games, the Mark Murphy proposal, etc. I don't know what it'll be, but it seems pretty clear that this CBA will see some kind of reorganization of how the season is constructed. Now, maybe that means more playoff teams. Maybe that means another bye week. I don't know. But it's pretty clear they're trying to continue to grow that financial pie, and to do so, they're going to have to create more games somehow. And hopefully that will lead to a decrease in preseason contests. That's what we can only hope and pray at this point. All right, let's head over to Twitter. It's been a while. The old tweet machine, Andy. I think he put this up prior to the revelation that Burks will not be gone for the season, but it's still pertinent to discussion. What's the best strategy for replacing Burks? Trade? Cut day? Next man up? All of the above? Or Corey Banky? Well, nobody wants to see Corey Banky playing football. There's certainly not the case. But it is interesting to watch how Gutekunst responds to these types of things. He certainly seems to have followed the same path that Ted Thompson would have, in that it is definitely the next man up, even if the next man up was an undrafted rookie, as Bolton stepped in with the starters the next day. But it is something to watch at cutdown time. I do not doubt that for a second. And look, one of their inside backers last year came late in the process, late in the summer, via trade. So watch this space, so to speak. Jack Carpenter, thank you for the super chat. How has Josh Jackson looked, in your opinion? I haven't seen Josh Jackson. He was out on the PUP the entirety of my stay in Green Bay. So, and I didn't see him on Thursday night, so I have not. It is inconclusive at this point. But we'll see. Let's see him get some action out there. Maybe he gets out there eventually. But hey, you got to be encouraged by how Tony Brown has looked in his stead. Let's see. One more tweet. We got one more tweet here. Tyler asks, day after day, Boyle outplays Kaiser. Kaiser is Hundley 2.0. How long is it going to take Goot to say Boyle is the two and cut ties with Kaiser? Kaiser experiment should end sooner rather than later. Tyler, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not sure I agree with your assessment there of the quarterbacks. Boyle outplays Kaiser? Maybe if you're following certain tweeters at practice, but as someone who watched each and every day for weeks on end, I can assure you that that is not the case. Kaiser has been a bit more productive, certainly in the preseason, but that doesn't mean he has played better. In fact, you've seen lots of errant throws, some questionable decision-making, things that, you know, when things break down, he's unable to escape, which Kaiser is because of the athleticism. Kaiser's there at number two, and I think it's going to take a whale of a couple games from Boyle to change things in that regard. Cole Madison asks now, head back over to the live chat here. Cole Madison has looked really good, especially for a guy who was away from football for a year. He has stepped in and really played well in the one-on-one situations, all the one-on-one trench warfare, so to speak. And in his time, at least on Thursday night, if you look at the tape, he played pretty darn well against the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, it's surprising to me how well he has played, actually. I thought there'd be a bit more of a learning curve slash adjustment period, but he's really hit the ground running. And you, obviously, with the circumstances, you're really happy to see it. Gary was a non-factor in Baltimore. Well, so was everybody. I mean, he had one really nice rush where he got to the quarterback and the ball was out of his hands. Nothing he can do about that. You know, same can be said of Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius Smith got close to the quarterback but didn't bring him down. I mean, see, small sample sizes that get blown up. I saw PFF comparing Gary to Vinovich. It's like, oh, this is enough to give you a headache. Who would you guess our starting secondary is? Good question. Right now, since King is still out with a hamstring injury, I'd probably give you Tony Brown and Jair Alexander on the perimeter and Tremon Williams on the inside. Maybe they bounce Williams out to the outside and move Jair into the slot, but right now those are your three, considering that, you know, most of the time you're in nickel, dependent on how the offense comes out that first snap of the game. And then at safety, you've got Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos. I'm pumped to have O-line depth. William, I'm trying not to get excited about it because Lord knows we go through this seemingly every summer where we see these guys and like, oh, they're not too bad. And then they get in actual game situations and they get kicked around. But yeah, I'm with you. Between Jenkins and Madison and Light, you got Turner and his versatility. Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. No doubt about it. Is Josh Jones actually sick? Christopher, that's a great question. I wish I could tell you. I'm not privy to any of that information. It is interesting, though, isn't it? Suddenly just scratched from that Baltimore game with an illness and then hasn't practiced since, almost like they're trying to make sure that he stays healthy in case they want to trade him. I'm not saying. That is the ultimate I'm not saying, I'm just saying scenario. How is Jimmy Graham? It sounds like he'll be okay. He did kind of bust up his finger yesterday. Gutekunst was asked about it early on today and said they didn't think there was any long-term concerns, but he didn't give an actual update, so we'll have to wait and see. Trade Rodgers while he still has value. That's a comment from someone who doesn't know how the salary cap works. Trading Rodgers would be like setting off an atomic bomb on the Packers' salary cap. Ain't gonna happen. Dexter Williams seems to be very up and down. Buddy, I agree with that assessment. He shows flashes. There's no doubt about it. He's had some bad drops in practice and in the games. Yesterday, very first play, the competitive period, he runs a wrong route. LaFleur got on him pretty good. And I thought LaFleur's explanation was pretty good. You literally scripted this. It's the first thing you went over in meetings. You come out on the practice field. It's the literal first play. You think you should be good, right? You should be locked in, and kid runs the wrong route. You know, you can't have that. Can't do it. When is the deadline to cut the roster down to 53? Ernesto, I don't know the exact date. It's usually the Saturday after that last preseason game. So with 17 days to week one, I would think roughly 10 days or so. Four preseason games is almost as bad as the offseason. Tell me about it. Davies, hey, Nag, sorry I'm late to the party. No problem, man. Is Shepard going to make the 53? It's going to be close. Especially with Trevor Davis coming back to practice today, having a good practice. I think it's going to come right down to the wire. It will be down to probably production in both practice and especially in the preseason games. Right now, I have a hard time imagining them cutting him. He's shown out in every which way. He's the kind of guy with the heads he's been turning and the production that he's had and how little chance he was given in the draft process, that's the kind of thing that would probably make other evaluators at other teams take a second look and go, how did we miss on this kid? And maybe if the Packers do cut him, a team that needs wide receiver help brings him in because he's a returner as well, right? So to me, that probably helps him a lot more than a guy like Lazard who, yeah, if they cut him, would another team take a chance on him? I tend to doubt it, though you never know. But we always seem to like overrate our own guys, right? And you know, personnel guys are probably the same way. Some more than others. But I think Shepard's shown so much after having so little expected of him that if he were to get cut loose, I do think he'd find a home on another team.
Watch your jacket next to your
mom. Oh, sorry, Gaff. Gaff telling me I should have put it on my coat. Sorry, buddy. Do you think Trevor Davis can play the slot? Yeah, I do. Shepard is definitely making a run at the 53. I agree. Can you remind everyone how much production in the preseason doesn't matter? Thanks, Aaron. Timmy, you're right. Production in the preseason don't mean anything. Thanks for reminding me to remind people. Your impression of special teams and Menenga, too early to tell? Yeah, William, far too early to tell. It looks competent. Like I've always said, pretty much all offseason, that's... It's enough to get you excited. Are Packers coaches actually confident Rodgers doesn't need preseason every year, or are they told to say they are confident? Number 12 despises preseason. Woo, get the tinfoil hats out there. No, I mean, I think most people in football think Rodgers doesn't need much action in the preseason. I don't think that's a wild stance to take. I mean, I would like to see him out there with the new offense. Don't get me wrong. But if he doesn't take a snap, I think the coaches are fine with that. If Ryan Leaf and Tony Mandarich want to go to the Chargers-Packers game, where should they get their tickets? Well, let me tell you. They should go to CheeseheadTV.com and check out Ticket King. They've been around since 1992, and they can get those Chargers-Packers tickets or any tickets to any Packers game. Check out Ticket King, CheeseheadTV.com. Division is so competitive, I don't think it would surprise me if the Lions won it. Woo! That's a bold proclamation. When's the 2020 draft guide going up? God, Tony, don't say that out loud. Not to Corey Behnke. They'll start getting twitchy. Then why even play the preseason? Because there's lots of other guys that need the work. No way we keep four tight ends and a fullback, right? Who gets cut? Josh, stay tuned. It could be anybody. But yeah, there's a way they could do it. I don't think they will, but they could. You never know. Maybe they go light someplace else. Maybe because of Billy Turner's versatility, they keep one less offensive lineman, which affords them an extra tight end. You never know. It's all a puzzle. It all gets put together. Now, is it likely? No, it's not. But could it happen? Sure. Absolutely. Is Kumerow going to be the number three receiver? That's a good question, Dylan. He'll be in the mix. No doubt about it. I think all those guys are going to be run in and out quite a little bit. But Kumerow, his connection with 12, his production, both not just in the preseason games, but in practice, each and every practice, tells you that the quarterback trusts him. Nothing's too big for him. He's contributing on special teams. It's hard to imagine him not on the 53. We'll see how much he contributes once the regular season starts. Oh, my gosh. So pumped for Packer transplants. Ice! I am, too. Let me tell you about it. Packers Rookie of the Year? Oh, that's going to be Darnell Savage. No question in my mind. No question in my mind. Will DeBeer make the final roster? No. All right, everybody, I'm going to jump. Thank you so much for all the questions. Sorry if I couldn't get to yours. There's always a ton of them. I love the passion. I love communicating and engaging with you guys each and every day. We won't be having a daily tomorrow, but we will have Extra Cheese, so make sure you're on the lookout for that. By the way, if you want to know when Extra Cheese is going up, hit subscribe. Put on your notifications. Tell your friends on YouTube and on Facebook where we're there. We're on Twitter. Follow us. Retweet us there. And please, if you like what we do at Cheesehead TV, please considering supporting our Patreon, just $5 a month. And hey, a note about that. I had someone in our mentions during the watch party that said we're fooling everybody with our Patreon. And look, on the Patreon for $5 a month, it very clearly says if you want your name in the credits of Packer Transplants, that's what you get with your $5 a month and access to any time I record Nagler's Never Right. Now, Nagler's Never Right is a very ephemeral being, and it comes in and out depending on the guests I can get, the time I have, everything else we're doing. But make no mistake, the $5 a month supports everything we do. When I say everything, I mean everything from development of the new website, which is coming soon, to the development of the new app, to all the video production, to everything we do at Cheesehead TV is supported by the Patreon, not just a podcast. All the videos, all the content, everything. So we thank you very much. And if you haven't yet, please jump on board. Support what we do. We're an independent site. We have no individual huge VC backing, nothing. We do this through grit and determination, just like a fullback. So please consider $5 a month, Cheesehead TV at Patreon. Thanks so much, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night.